All right, everybody, welcome in. Get ready to take a deep dive with us today. We're going back in time, back to 19th century France.
That's right. And we're doing it with, well, a little help from Alexis de Tocqueville.
Tocqueville. Now, he's a name that carries some weight, doesn't it?
Absolutely. A French thinker, a historian, really insightful, especially his writings on, you know, democracy in America.
Right, right. But we're not looking at America today. We're talking about Tocqueville's thoughts on a couple of pretty important French figures.
We are talking about the Bonapartes.
Ah, the Bonapartes. Talk about a family drama for the history books, huh?
Oh, yeah. Napoleon I and then his nephew, Napoleon III. Talk about a legacy.
It's like one generation tries to outdo the last, right? But this isn't just about two guys, two Napoleons, vying for power. This is about Tocqueville's analysis of their rule, which is where Melvin Richter's new book comes in.
Yes. Tocqueville and the Two Bonapartes. I mean, that title alone, right?
It grabs you. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, let's set the stage here. Tocqueville himself, he wasn't just some detached observer, was he?
Not at all. I mean, this is a man who lived through some of France's most tumultuous times. Think about it. The French Revolution, the rise and fall of Napoleon I. His own family, they were caught right in the middle of it.
Wow. So he's seen these massive societal shifts, these power struggles up close and personal. That's got to shape your worldview, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what makes his perspective so valuable. He's grappling with these questions of democracy, revolution, and authoritarianism, not just in theory, but through the lens of his own lived experiences.
So he goes to America,
yeah,
right? Sees this young nation experimenting with democracy, writes about it, then comes back to France. And what does he find?
Well, France is, let's just say, it's having a different kind of experience with democracy. A lot more, well, revolutions and, you know, strongmen.
Right. Like a pendulum swinging back and forth between those extremes. So enter the Bonapartes right on cue.
Exactly. And I think that's part of what fascinated Tocqueville. Here you have these two figures, both Napoleons, who embody this tension, this back and forth in French history.
And he didn't exactly pull any punches when it came to his opinions on them, right? I mean, I was reading Richter's book, and Tocqueville had some pretty strong words for Napoleon III's style of leadership. Something about a facade.
Oh, yeah. He called Napoleon I's rule a magnificent and deceptive facade. Basically, he saw right through it.
What did he mean by that? A facade of what?
Tocqueville believed that Napoleon I's system, the way he centralized power, relied on the military, suppressed any kind of dissent.
It was all about control.
Exactly. And for Tocqueville, that directly contradicted, like, the core principles of a republic, you know, the kind of democratic ideals that he saw developing in America.
Right. So it wasn't just about ambition. It was about a system of government that Tocqueville thought, frankly, was dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think what's fascinating is that this wasn't just some abstract political theory for Tocqueville. He saw the real-world consequences of this kind of thinking. Richter does a great job of highlighting that in his book.
Yeah, because then you have Napoleon III, right? Comes along later, stages this coup, seizes power, and Tocqueville is right there to witness it.
He is. 1851, Napoleon III pulls off this coup, and it's like everything Tocqueville feared about France's vulnerability to authoritarianism, it's playing out right before his eyes.
That's got to be a punch to the gut. Like, here we go again.
Right. Like, haven't we learned anything?
Tocqueville called the coup a deplorable spectacle. And Richter includes this really powerful quote where Tocqueville describes the French people as being drunk with fear. Drunk with fear. Man, that's an image that sticks with you. Okay, so he's obviously critical of both Napoleons, but did he see them in the exact same light? Or did his views, like, change or become more nuanced over time?
That's a great question, and it's one of the things Richter really digs into in his book. While Tocqueville saw both Bonapartes as, well, let's be honest, detrimental to France's democratic development, he also recognized their, you know, their political skills.
So he's not just dismissing them as power-hungry tyrants.
No. Tocqueville was especially interested in how they understood the psychology of the French people. He saw how they exploited this desire for order, especially after periods of, you know, intense social and political upheaval.
Right. So it's like after all the chaos, people are just desperate for some stability, even if it means sacrificing some freedom.
That's it. And Tocqueville recognized that. And I think, you know, that's a cautionary tale for any democracy. It's a reminder that the appeal of a strong man, someone who promises to restore order, it can be incredibly tempting, even seductive, during times of uncertainty.
That's a scary thought. And it makes you wonder, is it even more relevant today, you know, given what we're seeing in the world? But I think we're going to have to save that conversation for another time. As we wrap things up, is there one big takeaway you know, from Richter's book, from Tocqueville's writings, that we should really be reflecting on?
I think if Tocqueville were here with us today, he'd tell us that democracy is fragile, and it requires constant work, constant vigilance. We can't just assume it'll always be there. We have to actively protect it.
That's a powerful message.
And we can't be afraid to learn from the past, even the messy parts, even the times when democracy failed. Because ultimately, understanding those failures, it might be the key to safeguarding our own future.
Wow. I think that's the perfect note to end on. So, to everyone listening, we'll leave you with this. Tocqueville believed that revolutions, as much as they promise change, often lead to disillusionment and this longing for order, even at the expense of liberty. And add something to think about. As we navigate our own world today, our own political climate, think about that.